How many of you have a mother in your life that you love? Okay, by raising of hand, that's fine, man. I feel like that deserves a cheer for a mother in your life. Come on. Mothers are great, okay? Right now, I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs 31. Yes, I'm preaching out of Proverbs 31. This is a kind of the stereotypical verse of what a woman should be, what a man ought to look for in a wife. And maybe you've heard messages on this, but I've never preached on Proverbs 31. I personally kind of like to go for some of the lesser known verses, but this is going to be good, man. God was really just wrecking me on some of this kind of stuff, okay, man? And you're going to be blessed by this. I may be speaking. It's about an hour before I could probably rightly make this judgment, but I really expect this to be one of the greatest messages that I've ever preached. This is a huge blessing. God's just been, man, before we get into this, wives, ladies, I want you to ready yourself for what's about to come, because if you apply this message, your house, your husband, your children, everything you set your hands to will be blessed. And husbands, I want you to pay attention, because you do have a role in this, okay? This isn't just something pastor's gonna preach to the wives all day. But you build your wife up and you encourage her in the things that I'm about to share. It's going to move you, husbands, to a place beyond your own ability. This is going to be a good thing. Are you guys ready? Proverbs 31, verse 10. We're going to read this. I'm not going to be expounding upon every verse. In fact, I'm just going to focus on three this morning. But let's read this. Who can find a virtuous wife? Has anybody found a virtuous wife? I know I have. Okay, some husbands are about to get slapped right now if you don't. Anybody found a virtuous wife? Oh, yeah, okay, that's a little better. Okay, so, man, her worth is far above rubies. Her heart, the heart of her husband, safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Already some of us are falling off the bandwagon. That's not me entirely, but we're going to get there, okay? She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. My wife has literally done this for me, okay? I was not a big eater of rice. Spam was something that was never in my diet, but literally from afar she has brought foods. And I love this stuff. My favorite meal today is spam, eggs, and rice. Okay? And some of you maybe haven't tried this, or, you know, and I should say this, it's my second favorite meal, because if you take spam, eggs, and rice and you wrap it in a little bit of seaweed, it is the best. It is the best. They call it spam musubi, and it is a Hawaiian delicacy, and it is awesome. You go into gas stations here, you see brown hot dogs that have been spinning around on the wheel for hours. You go into gas stations in Hawaii, you'll see spam musubi. It's just, they're everywhere, okay? You can buy rice at McDonald's. That's very far from the point. Let's continue. Okay, and a portion for her maidservant. She considers a field and buys it. From her prophets, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands for the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. And when he sits among the elders of the land, Yeah, when he sits. So she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Lord, I just lift up this message to you, God. I've got such a great expectancy, God. You've got such a great potential and such a great call upon women and upon mothers in this house, Lord. And I pray on this Mother's Day 2013, God, this would be a morning that we can reflect back upon, that a husband would look back upon, a child would look, a mother would look back upon this day and know this is a day that everything changed for me, that I understood not only what my role is as a mother, what their role is as a wife, but Lord Jesus, that we would understand what your appointed purpose for mothers is. Lord, I pray you'd reveal these things in Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. There's a lot here. Wives, mothers, those who one day, okay, if you're a young person in this place, okay, young men in this place, unmarried, these are things you ought to be looking for in a spouse. And this is something that even now you can be praying that God would begin to work in your spouse. For young ladies in the house, I would encourage you, you can begin to embrace these things. I'm going to be talking about some of God's appointed purposes for women and for mothers in particular. And I want you to begin to embrace things, these things, because even now you can begin to walk in some of these things and you're going to see there's some exciting stuff. I would encourage you, again, I'm just looking at three different verses this morning, but I would encourage you, work through each and every one of these verses. Take time and pray on them and look at them, study them, see where, you know, you're doing great things and even seek to improve those. But look also where you may need some improvement, because I'm sure we don't have any Proverbs 31 wives that fulfill every single one of these verses. Or do we? Husbands, do we? This is a trick question. I won't get you in trouble, okay? So let's look at this. Are you guys ready to dive in some of these things? Is anybody ready? Okay. So verse 27, this is what we're going to be looking at. Proverbs 31, 27, it says this: she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, some, if you've got a little study Bible, you can maybe see this. A lot of people take this as manage your home well, okay? And Titus 2:5 commends women that are homemakers. And so this can apply that way. Women who are taking care of, managing their home with excellence. And this is a tough deal, okay? My wife, earlier this week, she went just for a few hours, I think about 3 hours, not even quite that long, to Dance Hula. Some of the schools in Effingham were having Hawaii Week. And so Leah and Chrissy, even Dylan Dilly was a Hawaiian for the day. Where's Dylan? Is she around? Oh, she's in children's. Okay. But, man, they went, and my daughter Mariah was with them, and they went and they danced hula, and, it's just a really neat kind of deal. But that left me home for 3 hours with the kids. Okay. And this is a tough deal. All right. Just in those 3 hours, I don't know if you guys are, we babysit a young girl and she's a blessing, but I tell you what, man. Fathers, I don't know if we've got the grace for children the way that mothers do. 3 hours with noise and with, this has become, okay, my son just had a birthday this last week. And, he went over to Gabriel Hinkey's house. And I wish that now he kind of wouldn't have introduced him to this, but my son has discovered Legos. And so we had a Lego birthday. Okay, we were intending superheroes or something like this to be the focus for his birthday party. But after leaving Gabriel's house, no, I want Legos. Okay, so we get Legos and the most irritating sound that has ever come across my ears are little Lego pieces hitting the floor. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You got sons and you hear Lego pieces hitting the floors. Okay, it is the most I get upset when I hear this, okay? And so you get two kids, and guess what? Guess what Josie and guess what Gabriel wanted to do the whole 3 hours that my wife was gone? They wanted to play with Legos. No, they didn't want to play with Legos. They wanted to drop Legos on the ground. That's what they wanted to do. And I go and I walk over there, and I'm in my socks. And I don't know if you guys realize this, but about the worst thing in the world you could step on without shoes are Legos, okay? Horrible, all right? And so anyway, it's beside the point. This is the kind of stuff that mothers who stay at home with children, I would go insane. I about went insane in 3 hours being home with two kids at home, okay? My wife does it every day. And sometimes with more than two kids, all right? It's just, you know, right now, husbands, you ought to turn to your wife. Whether you got kids or not, you better turn to your wife and just give her a hug right now. You guys aren't moving very well. Okay, there you go. There you go. And so you manage. You're a homemaker. You're a hard worker. You manage your home with excellence. In fact, the second part of that verse says, do not eat the bread of idleness. That simply means, you think about this for a second, you're not lazy, okay? So be a hardworking homemaker, all right? And that's a good thing. Be a hard worker in the home. Manage your home with excellence. Amen. We're going to bless the mothers now. No, I'm just kidding. Like, really? That was your greatest message, Pastor? No. I'm not a chauvinist, okay? And I want to dig a little deeper. I believe that God has got a much deeper purpose. And everything I've said is true, absolutely. But God has got such an incredible purpose for mothers and for women. He's got an incredible purpose for each and every one of you. And I want to begin to look at a couple aspects of this because there are a few things that I believe are your inheritance that maybe we've never considered before. And I like this. We're going to get Holy Ghost with this a little bit. But I've noticed a few things about Christian women in general. And you may have men, and I would consider myself one of these, okay? I love deliverance ministry. And one of the things that must go hand in hand with deliverance ministry is discernment. You must have a sense about what's going on in the spirit. I believe anybody who's in ministry ought to have a sense of discernment. What is the Lord doing? How is the enemy working? What do you see upon this individual? And I consider myself to be a man of discernment. But there's something on Christian women. You guys ever notice this? There's something upon Christian women. It's just they see things. They have a sense. They discern things that husbands seem to miss. Discernment, they may take a spiritual gift test, and discernment may not even be the top thing on their list. But for whatever reason, women tend to be a good judge of character. They see things coming from a mile away where men just completely miss this thing. And I've looked and I've wondered, man, where is the scriptural explanation? Give me the theology behind this. Anybody ever wondered? Am I the only one who's ever realized this? Or how many would say, yes, my wife has got an excellent sense that she's a good judge of because she's got discernment. I found it. It's in Proverbs 31. It's in Proverbs 31. We got wives in the house that are forcing their husbands' hands up. Proverbs 31. You want me to show you where this is? Verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household. You see it? No, you don't. Watch this. You look in Bible commentaries, you'll probably see stuff about a woman being a good homemaker. And that's fine. That's biblical. But if you dig a little deeper, there's a Hebrew word for watches. And the Hebrew word for watches, I don't know if we've got this up here. Now, this is a hard word. That T-S, that's just tsa-fa. Try and say that word, tsatha. Tsatha. There's not really like a pronounced T, but it's there. It's a hint of tsatha. Hebrew's hard. I had actually decided about 2 years ago that I was going to start taking Hebrew classes, but I started studying Hebrew on my own time. I am not going to take Hebrew classes. Tsatha is a very, very difficult language to learn. But this is what tsatha means. It means to look out or about, to spy, to keep watch, to observe, or to watch. What does that mean? It'll help you if you begin to cross-reference some other things, because this is a word, tsatha, is used 37 times in the New Testament. But a majority, a great majority, over 20 of the times that it is used in the Bible, it is rendered. If you look it up in a concordance, nearly every single time you see this used in the Bible, it is rendered watchman. Not to take watch, but to be a watchman. And this is by far the most common. You have a few others. It says watch a few times. It says to spy a few times. But tsatha, properly rendered, is watchman. Everybody say watchman. You know what a watchman is? You've been in Holy Ghost circles, or especially if you've been in prophetic circles, you will probably have heard people talk about, oh, you are a watchman on the wall. They'll talk about the ministry of prayer and intercession and how these individuals are watchmen, and God has appointed these. In fact, I want to read to you about some of these watchmen. In Ezekiel 3:17, Ezekiel, mighty prophet of the Lord, was rendered, son of man, I have made you a tsatha, a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, I want you to look at how God uses watchmen, because women, mothers, ladies, this is going to help you. This is something God has for you. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you will give a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you don't give a warning, or you speak to warn the wicked of his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person will die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. This is getting intense. But if you warn them, he does not turn away from his wickedness or from his wicked way. He shall die for his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Watchman, God speaks. He warns. Open your mouth and share what the Lord is showing. That's tsatha, watchman. Ezekiel 33, verse 6. Here's another warning. But if the watchman sees the sword coming, but does not blow the trumpet so the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any of them, that person is taken away from his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. The big weight that's placed upon watchmen, God has given them foresight and insight. Isaiah was a watchman. God put intercession on him. In fact, the Bible describes the role of Isaiah as an intercessor. He was a watchman night and day. He was one who would not sleep. God would drop words on his heart. Isaiah, you're not sleeping tonight. You're praying tonight. Amos was a watchman, and it says in Amos 3:7, I love this. In Amos 3:7, it says, the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to the servant, to his servant, the prophet, tsatha. God does nothing without revealing his purpose to the watchman. Romans 16:17, Paul is talking about watchmen. And he says this, I appeal to you, brothers, watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. This is the purpose. This is a call of watchmen. A watchman in the natural. We probably know what this is, but these are the individuals. They would have walls around cities, and they would have watchtowers on this. And the watchmen would be the ones in the watchtower, and they'd be watching for incoming enemies. They would send warning to others that there was an attack coming, or there may be a messenger that's coming. It may be in a castle or something like that. They would have watchtowers, and you would have watchmen. These people don't sleep, but they watch. And they warn about things that are coming. According to Proverbs 31 and verse 27, women are to be watchmen. Women are to be watchmen. And there's certain things. I want you to pay attention to this, okay? Because there are certain things. When you do things in life, okay? As a pastor, for example, if God is going to call you into pastoral ministry, you ought to expect that God is going to give you some things. God is going to give you mercy. God is going to give you compassion. God is going to give you a love for people. I will never forget, I was sitting in a pastoral class. The class was literally called the Pastoral Epistles. And there was a truck driver who'd gotten saved and decided he wanted to go into ministry. And I remember he brought up a question. He's like, what do you do if you don't love people? Our instructor didn't pull any punches. He says, you don't go into ministry. If you don't love people, but there's a few things, man. If God's going to call you into ministry, he's going to give you love for people. Okay? If the Lord is calling you, he will equip you, right? And there's certain things, you know, this next venture in my life, I will expect to step into certain coverings and anointings as an evangelist that I have not walked in the last 6 years of my life. When I became a father, I expected certain things to come upon my life because I'm a father and because God had appointed me to do that. As women, you're a mother. There are things that you ought to expect from God, and this is one of them. God has appointed, this is my first point this morning, God has appointed women to be watchmen. God has appointed women to be watchmen. That means women, wives, you ought to expect to hear from God. You ought to expect to discern things from God. You ought to expect to see danger coming from a mile away, even before your husband or your children or anybody else does. Not because you're more discerning than your husband, but because God has appointed you to be a watchman. My wife, I learned this very early on. Remember, there was a young girl, we were getting ready to go to India, and there was a young girl who was on this trip. She was going with us, and I didn't know her very well. I'd seen her around church a little bit, and our passports weren't going through. We had to go to the Indian Consulate General and several-hour drive, and Leah and this girl and my roommate, all of our passports hadn't gone through. My wife wasn't. She was just along for the ride. But we went, and we spent the day with this girl. And she was one, she'd come around the house every so often because we were good friends with a lot of her friends, and occasionally she would come by. And I remember very early on after meeting this girl, my wife said, Jake, I don't like that girl. I don't want you around that girl. Now, all I knew about this girl was she looked as a righteous woman of God. She didn't dress sleazy, you know. She looked nice. She was very friendly. I ministered alongside her in India. Every impression that I had, this is a woman of God. She served right next to one of the pastors, Pastor Steve's right-hand man. Knew Pastor Steve, knew the pastoral staff very well. Everything I knew, this is a woman of God. Well, my wife said, Jake, I don't like that girl. I don't want her in your house. I don't want you hanging around her. I didn't mark her as judgmental or anything. Yes. I'll listen to you. It wasn't 2 weeks after we got back from India, stuff started blowing up. Found out this young girl was sleeping with Pastor Steve's right-hand man. It was a pastor that was let go from the church. She discerned something. She saw things, and I listened. I don't know if that would have been a pitfall that I would have fallen into, but I tell you something, I listened to the watchman. You know, we went, and this was just a year or two ago, we went back and we saw her in passing, and come to find out, she's done the same thing. She went to another church, slept with another pastor. This thing is repeated. I believe it's happened 3 times over now. Repeatedly. Why? Leah saw it's a husband stealer right there. It's a ministry killer right there. Watchmen. I've learned, and there's other things, and I've learned to trust when my wife has. We need to watch out for this one. We need to watch out. And I've learned to trust my wife in these instances. And wives, you ought to be watching. I don't want you to, okay, this is not, you're not, Leah doesn't go around. She gets an impression about somebody. You know who she shares that with? Me. Okay? She doesn't go and she doesn't share it with her women's group. She doesn't share it in her small group. She doesn't share it with everybody. That's not the point of a watchman. You watch out for your house. You watch out for your children. You watch out for your husband. That's what you do. Okay? Are you understanding me on this? Because what I do not want is a bunch of judgmental women cropping up in Freedom Reigns in Christ Church. And well, pastor said that I can judge people. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying God has appointed you as a watchman. You can watch and the Lord will show you things. You share that with your husband prayerfully. You pray on these things. You discern these things and you operate and you walk with wisdom. You hear me on this? Proverbs 31:13. Second thing, we're looking at God-appointed roles. First of all, God has appointed women to be watchmen. This is another one, verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Now, this is why studying is good. This is another awesome, deep point, but you read this at face value. It's okay, so I'm a watchman, and point number two, I need to go shave some sheep. No, that's not it, okay? This is my point, okay? Forget that first part. Let's look at, 13 part B, if you will. She willingly works with her hands. This is a God-appointed role for women. She willingly works with her hands. The Hebrew word hands in this verse is the word kaf. Literally means upturned hands extended in prayer. Upturned, you guys getting this? This is powerful stuff right here. Word studies are fun. God has appointed women as watchmen. Second, God has appointed women to be intercessors. God has appointed women to be intercessors. This is powerful. There is no higher calling. I believe this with all my heart. There is no higher calling than the place to prayer. And I believe that there is a special grace on mothers to be intercessors. Fathers are good examples. Fathers are to be an encouragement. And children need the admonition of a father. But a mother, you're a prophet over those children. It's ingrained in you. I know this happens in mothers. The time that you conceive that child, you immediately begin to wonder, what is this child going to be? You have dreams and aspirations for the child that is being grown in your womb. And God's not put that in you just so you can wonder and be excited. God's put that in you so even from that time you can begin to prophesy over your children. Begin to pray over those children. You look at your husband. Listen, wives, you ought to prophesy over your husband. You ought to speak greatness into your husband. You often hear about individuals. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard young people talk about how they got saved because they had a praying what? Mama. They had a praying mama. I have never, and I know, man, many people get saved and they've got a godly father in the house and they may have a father of prayer. But for some reason, you never hear people talk about, I had a praying papa and I had a praying mama. I'm one of them, church. I had a praying mama. This doesn't take dad off the hook. Listen, I lay my hands on my children literally every single night. But there's something powerful. There's something beautiful about when a mother lays hands and prophesies over her family, prophesies greatness into their life. Again, I can speak very highly of my wife in this area. I pray, and I know that God hears me. I love, man, I'll spend hours in prayer. And I love to pray, but if I have a decision that I'm making in my life, I want her praying. I want my wife praying. There are very few men of God, and they're only men, and this is just me being very transparent, that I trust wholeheartedly. If you say you have a word from the Lord, I know you have a word from the Lord. I'll tell you flat out who they are. Steve Hill. If Steve Hill were to come to me and say, I've heard from the Lord, Jacob, this is what you need to do, I won't ask questions. This may seem shallow or unspiritual to you, but I won't even pray about it. If Steve Hill comes to me and says, I've heard from the Lord, yes, sir. If Joel Stockstill were to come to me and say, I've heard from the Lord, this is what he has said, yes, sir. No question. If Reinhard Bonnke were to come to me, yes, sir. There's no exaggeration. Those are literally the only three men in my life that I would do that. Anybody in this church comes to me, I'm not saying I'm going to reject that word, but I'm going to chew on it. I'm going to take it to prayer. I'm going to meditate. Does this bear witness with my heart? But there's a few people, and this is my list in its entirety. There are a few people that I will trust with no questions asked. You've heard from the Lord. Steve Hill, Joel Stockstill, Reinhard Bonnke, and Leah Barrientos. This is true. I'm not saying this because I forgot to buy my wife a card for Mother's Day. This is the truth. I trust her hearing from the Lord because you know what? God has appointed women to be intercessors. That's my entire list. When she prays, God listens, and I trust that. It's one of the things that God has appointed my wife to do, especially in things that relate to me and my children. It's a God-given role for women. In verse 20, we see another use for women's hands. Is this blessing anybody? Proverbs 31, verse 20. See another use for her hand. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. The Hebrew word in this for hands is different. It's the Hebrew word yad. It literally means ministering or serving hands. God has appointed women to be servants. This is my third and final point. God has appointed women to be servants. Now, this one may be harder to swallow. I bet ladies are liking this message so far. Okay, so I'm a watchman and I'm a prophet and I'm an intercessor that prays powerful prayers that God hears. And you're a servant. God's appointed role. My wife, she is beautiful. She is gifted. She has tremendous wisdom and she loves the Lord and she's a diligent note taker. But I love her incredibly. But you know what drew me to my wife more than anything? There are two things I will never forget when we were dating. The first, remember, I would pick her up and, you know, we'd go to the gym or, you know, whatever. Our dates consisted of going to Quick Trip. They don't have Quick Trip here, but a Quick Trip, they've got 30 different types of Slurpees, and we'd get Slurpees and Airheads, and that would be our date. You know, it'd cost us $2, and it was awesome. And we'd go to the park just right down the street from CF and I, and, you know, we enjoyed time together, but when I knew that I knew this is the woman for me. She asked me one day, I was dropping her off, and she said, can you leave your car with me? She didn't even have a driver's license at the time, and I didn't know why she would want my car, but I trusted her, and so, sure, I left my car with her. I came back the next day and found that she had cleaned my car spotless. Smelled good. She had wiped the dash and all the brown stuff that was in the bottom of the cup holders was gone. She served me. Second thing I'll never forget.
It means a lot to me, okay? This may sound like the smallest stuff, but this is biblical right here.
Remember, I had graduated. She was still in school, and I was in the place, man, I was paying off my own school bill. I was paying off her school bill, and so I had no money. When I'd moved into this apartment, the rent was about $1,000 a month in Dallas, and so I'm paying rent, and I got no money. I'm sleeping on an air mattress, okay? And I remember one day I got off work, and I came into my apartment, and Leah was there. And this was unusual. She didn't usually come. She had a few friends over there. And I walked in, and I looked off to my right, and I looked into my bedroom, and I saw my air mattress was gone, and I had a twin-size bed. A bedside table. Brand new covers spread across. And she'd spent every dime that she had. She got the bed and the table given to her from one of her friends. But she spent every dime that she had buying me a new comforter and sheets and a pillow and pillowcases. It meant so much to me. God has appointed women to be servants. These may sound like small things, but it meant a lot to me. You could buy me gifts all day long, and I'll forget about it. It really doesn't mean a lot to me. But you serve me. You pay me a compliment. These are things that will stick with me forever. I honestly can't remember an anniversary, an Easter, a Christmas, a gift that she bought for me. But I remember the times that she served me. My love language. I love languages. And I'm really convinced that most men are this way. Words of affirmation. Tell me what you think about me. Tell me that you value me. Tell me that I'm worth something to you. Words of affirmation. Makes me feel loved. You can buy me a $10,000 gift, I could care less. I'll be over that in a week. But you tell me that I'm awesome. You tell me that I'm great. Boy, that'll sustain me. Acts of service. This is my second love language. I've already expressed that. Why? I want you to think about this for a minute. Look at the points that I've already preached here. I'm convinced that most men are this way. That words of affirmation and acts of service will be what touches them. Why? Because two of the appointed offices that we've talked about so far, God has put it in women to pray and to prophesy to their husbands. Affirmation. Words of affirmation. God has put it in women to serve. Acts of service. You see in this, my wife, she works hard. She works very hard. And I praise her for that. And the Bible says that I can do that. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous wife? I have. Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Watch this. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Who can find a wife like that? You can. I have. And women, whether you are or you are not now these things, you can be. Because God has given it to you. He has called you to be these things. Watch this. This is going to get even better. He will lack no gain. He will lack no gain. He will have no lack of gain. Amazing. I want you to think about this. Wives, mothers, you want your husband, you want your household, you want your children to prosper. Be this sort of woman to them. Be this sort of woman. Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness to his bones. Don't be that to your husband. Don't be rottenness to his bone. A bad wife can literally suck the life and the potential out of a man. Nagging, complaining, murmuring, whining. I've seen men single who have drive and passion, the fire of God, the call of the Lord on their lives. They get around a wrong woman. It's rot to the bones, rot to the call of God. You see them just suck dry. I've watched couples come into the house of God, and both of them are on a great path, and for some reason, the wife goes off to one end, begins murmuring, complaining, and you just watch the life sucked out of the man. Don't be this. She wonders, why is he not the leader, the fighter, the man of integrity that I want him to be? Listen to me for a moment. This is so important. Wife, you want your husbands to be that. You want them to be the king in your house. You want them to be ruler. You want them to be champion in life. You, women, you, wife, are his crown. You are the one that will crown him or cut him down. You are the one who will build him up or break him down. You are going to be his strength, or you are going to be rocked to his bones. The role of the woman is huge. To the men, two things I want you to note. In verse 28, it says, her husband rises up and calls her blessed. He praises her. In verse 31, it says that he gives her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want you to think about this one a moment. Let her own works praise her in the gates, verse 31. That means, ladies, you want to be praised, you want to be blessed. According to Proverbs 31, let it be according to your own works. What are you doing? Do you deserve to be praised? You're the watchman. You're the intercessor. You're the servant. Men, children, husbands, if your mother, if your spouse is the things that I've been talking about, speak of the blessing that she is. Sing her praise. Watch this. You remember a moment ago, I said that it can be up to the woman to build up her husband, to see that crown of authority placed on him. Watch this. I have watched pastors, I've watched evangelists, I've watched men of God, men of authority fail miserably because they don't have a woman that crowns them. She brings them shame. And I've said time and time again, as a pastor here, I would have given up time over and time over if I didn't have this woman supporting me, building me up. You know, right now, I told her this last night. We have the expectancy of going to Dallas, getting part-time jobs, building this ministry from the ground, getting speaking engagements whenever we can. But right now, even just within this last week, there's potential opening up. We may be working alongside Reinhard Bonnke before too long. We could not hurt for speaking engagements for years to come. But I told my wife, I'm like, if our ministry explodes, I didn't yell at her like this, but I said, if our ministry explodes, I'm going to need you by my side. It's going to be too much for me to bear. I need you to support me. If we go to Dallas and everything that maybe could come begins to fall through, and I'm working a job and you're working a job, and we're barely providing for our children, and we're getting preaching engagements here and there whenever we can, I tell you, I will be happy, I will be content, I will be satisfied as long as you are there to support me. And I mean that with everything, church. I believe God's going to do big things, but she's going to be the one to support me. She's my crown. And what's it done? Her being a crown in my life has exalted me to places that I could not go to on my own. Look at verse 23. Proverbs 31, 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. What did we just read in verse 31? Put these verses together. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her. Let her own works praise her in the gates. What's in the gates? Her husband, who's been crowned as a man of authority. He sits among elders in the land. Her own works. Her own works. You want to know why that man is a man of authority, why he's an elder and why he's a ruler? Because that husband of a renown is her own work. I'm already, I want you to listen to me on this. I'm already in a position of authority as a pastor, and I will continue to be lifted up. I will continue to be crowned and somebody great. I will be a person of great renown. You say, Pastor, that is incredibly arrogant. You know why? Because I'm the work of a virtuous woman. I will be great in this life because I have a virtuous woman by my side. The Bible says that I will lack no gain. The Bible says that I will be known in the gates, that I will sit among elders and rulers, and I will be crowned. And that will because she is by my side. And I will sing her praise, just as Proverbs encourages me to. Wives, women, are you seeing the importance of this? You're the watchman. You're the intercessor. You're the prophet. You're the servant. And I tell you, the greatness of your household, the greatness of your husband, the greatness of your children, it hinges on you. Be a virtuous wife. I'd like you to stand to your feet. God is so good. For the sake of the recording, I'm going to pray a blessing on all those who might be listening right now. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, God, for what you're doing, for the high call of God you've placed upon women. The high call of God you've placed upon wives. And Lord, I pray for each and every person within the sound of my voice. I pray for the mothers and those who will be mothers. I pray for those who are wives at this moment and those who will be wives in the future. Lord, I pray we would be conformed to what you have appointed us to be. That we would be, Lord Jesus, what you have called us to be. God, that we would be the intercessors. We would be the prophets. We would be the watchmen. That we would be the servants that you've called us to be. Pray, release that purpose, that call in women in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for husbands. I pray for children. Lord, the households are going to lack no gain. They will be crowned with authority. You're going to use them as life is prophesied into them. But Lord, I pray that you would raise up children. You would raise up husbands that sing the praise of their wives. And Lord Jesus, we wouldn't be cold and unemotional, but God, we would lavish that praise on them just as the Bible describes. That whether we see her in person or whether we stand in that position of authority, Lord Jesus, that we sing their praise. That we support and encourage them, Lord Jesus, whether they support and encourage us or not. Lord, I thank you for your hand upon this time. I pray every person within the sound of my voice be blessed and encouraged on this Mother's Day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.